of Turn 4, we're back with the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3.
Thanks for tuning in.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Y'all know what time it is. Once again, the 3 Wide Basketball Podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer III coming at you from Manhattan, Kansas. As always, for this podcast, unless I'm somewhere else, the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest and what's going on in the world of NASCAR Motorsports, from the Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And folks, this is episode 300. Yes, sir, 300, the NASCAR Podcast with EG3, going 3-wide with EG3. Not how I envisioned it, because I had other plans and stopped before some changes to the schedule, so you're just going to have to roll with me today on this podcast. I'm sitting here recording this podcast on the same day as the race. Yes, folks, same day as the race, early Sunday morning on this fine morning, June 26th here in Manhattan, Kansas, 2022, where recently, as the weather, folks, has been topsy-turvy, at least here in Manhattan, Kansas, hot for a few days, and next thing you know, it's rainy, thundering, whatnot. But this morning is a good morning here in Manhattan, Kansas. Nice and cool here, at least for the next few days. We're still gonna get the 90 degrees, but at least this morning it's like 65, 66 degrees out there. As I was out there for a little bit here before coming back in and finishing up preparing and hitting that record button here in Manhattan, Kansas. A lot to get through here in this another jam-packed edition, jam-packed hour. When y'all listen to this, this will be an hour before the green flag of the Cup Series race in Nashville. Yes, a triple-header, part of the triple-header weekend. That's where we're coming on the back end of now. After we saw some speaking of hot temperatures, Nashville, for the second year in a row, you know it's summertime, obviously, so I don't understand, you know, other folks around the industry, you know, it's going to be hot out there. And yes, even though last year, you know, like, start, the crowd got in late, whatnot, running out of water, whatnot, there's just no excuse for that, and I'm talking about Nashville, so hopefully, a little bit of a late start will help out there, obviously, out there. I didn't realize I had to do a double take on the start time for this Cup race. I thought it would be the original time, too. This is going to start a little later than what it usually is here with a Cup race later on this afternoon, so when y'all hear this, you're going to be getting ready. We're off the bat for the Cup Series race, about an hour-ish away from green flag activity out there as well. And obviously, everyone coming off of the Father's Day weekend bye week, which hopefully everyone, all the dads out there, had a great Father's Day weekend out there, wherever you might listen to this podcast. And, oh, by the way, well, I'm going to save this actually for the end of the podcast as well. Since this is 300 episode of the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. But yeah, a lot to get into here, obviously, and talked about a little about the weather, obviously, so that could be a, well, it's going to be a factor. There's no way around it. Obviously, we saw the effects. Obviously, we see this time in, we see this year in, year out. It's about, you know, how hot the weather is, and you're going to see it double times that later this afternoon. But hopefully, with the later start time, well, later start time might at least reduce some of that. But we'll just have to see what happens after all of that. But history making performance yet again, the Xfinity series. We haven't talked about them on a recent podcast because, yes, they've been on for 2 weeks. And the last time we saw the Xfinity series, AJ Allmendinger winning the race in Portland. So, fast forward, turn the page now, putting our car on the fastway around this place here on the podcast. Justin Allgaier gets his second win yesterday in the heat at Nashville Super Speedway, leading 134 laps in this race. And yes, it's his second win of the season. You got to remember, he won Darlington, and Darlington was hot as well. So, you know, Justin Allgaier, we've seen this time in, year out, and the consistency, he seems like to me, you know, with his crew chief, Jason Burdette, who seems like this pairing has, it seems to be longer, almost as long as Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, you know. But it's just unfortunate that I call him the grandpa of the Xfinity series. Gave him that nickname, not in a bad way. If you've been following all up to this point of this podcast, or you've just been listening for a few weeks now, appreciate your support of this podcast. But yeah, Justin Allgaier, we've seen this year in, year out. He's a championship contender year in, year out, right? But, you know, he has not gotten that elusive championship. Now, I got back to thinking of this yesterday as Justin Allgaier was wrapping up his big win in Nashville. You know, he hasn't had a fair shake when it comes to Cup Series races. Now, we've seen him, obviously, back in the, I think it was 8th Scott Motorsports. He had an opportunity then with lesser equipment. Didn't do very well. We've seen him replace Jimmy Johnson at a time or two there. Didn't do well. Or in this case, like the last time he was in the Cup Series, I believe, was replacing Jimmy Johnson there for one of those races. And unfortunately, he got caught up in some unfortunate business there early in the race. I cannot think of the race where it was where Justin Allgaier had an actual competitive car and ran into early trouble. So he has not had his fair shake. And, you know, Trevor Bayne, I even forgot he was in this race. He ended up finishing in the second spot yesterday. He was coming on, but he needed late caution to have any shot of winning this race. But look, these two cats, right? You know, that's, and Trevor Bayne, Dale Earnhardt Jr. made the comment yesterday in the NBC broadcast that, you know, Trevor Bayne, you know, sat around, waited, and didn't do anything about trying to get opportunity back in the Cup. Remember, Trevor Bayne, first Cup start, won the Daytona 500. Yes, rookie season, right? He was on a part-time schedule. I came out of nowhere. Who the hell is this guy? You know, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he beat Carl Edwards in that 500 race, and that was when he had the what was it? That tandem program, that tandem package shit that that I did not like there. I believe it was a tandem package there. I do want to say that. Or it was close to it where it was a tandem package there. Yeah, it was, because Carl was trying to make a move a couple laps earlier, couldn't do it, and then he was kind of stuck back there behind Bayne and Bayne with the upset, one of the upsets in NASCAR history there with the win, right? So now, you know, these two cats, Allgaier, Bayne, they've been around for a while. Trevor Bayne reappearing back on the scene, and trying to get back up to the Cup Series at some point, and dude's been in hiatus, talking about Bane for a little bit before even this year and popped up. And I might have said his name previously on past episodes of the podcast. You have to go back and find those. But yeah, if you're Jermaine, yeah, you're in Joe Gibbs Racing Equipment. You're right about that. You got Brandon Jones. Won in this equipment this year. Well, obviously, Brandon Jones has been in the program for a few years now. He won at Martinsville earlier this year, right? Ty Gibbs, he won earlier this year, right? Yep. Check that box. Not only that, I think he's won twice. Am I not mistaken there? I might be wrong on that. But anyway, he has won a race this year, Ty Gibbs. So that leaves you, Tremaine. Yeah, you gotta win. I mean, he seems like he's got his shit together, but same time, man, you gotta go out there and try to put your money where your mouth is there. Yeah, he's good. He's good dude, obviously, but again, you gotta put your mouth where it is, right? And so, you know, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, now all of a sudden, now he's getting out there making phone calls and whatnot, trying to do what he needs to do to get back or at least get a full-time ride in the Xfinity Series. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So we'll just see what happens there. But yeah, Bane, he's had opportunities to win, has not cashed in yet. So I don't know how many races he has left, but yeah, he's gonna have to cash in on one of his opportunities. Not only that, but I think not only not to win, you're gonna have to back it up. And that's what Daniel Suarez, we talked a lot about him on the last edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. If you have not listened to that, please do that. Download it, subscribe to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, Suarez, he backed up, and it's kind of unfortunate that the second part of qualifying rained out with the quote-unquote surprise shower, which was Rick Allen said yesterday in the article on NBCSports.com along with NASCAR as well. The quote-unquote surprise shower at Nashville Speedway popped up and took away the final 10 cars of qualifying, which obviously at that point, Group A and Group B qualifying was already in the books. You had your 10 drivers trying to go out for the pole, and it rained out. So, yeah, that will have a starting lineup on the back end of this podcast here today on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. EG3 in the building. And so, but yeah, going back to these two, just to circulate my point here, yeah. Justin Allgaier is kind of baffling. He has not had a fair. He hasn't had offers to go out, to move up in the Cup Series. I have no idea why, because he's one of the more consistent drivers in the Xfinity Series year in, year out. He's competing for championships year in, year out. He's winning races year in, year out. And from what I took from the exchange about the NBC guys talking about Allgaier, right? So, you know, he and Burdett and Eddie DeHaan, who is Justin Allgaier's spotter, and in the Cup Series, he's a spotter of Chase Elliott. Look, they don't have a super exciting approach, right? They just go about their business, right? What I do, right? Head down, lunch, bring in lunch pail to work every single day, put in the work, and hope the fruits labor, like they did last. Just like they did yesterday. It's kind of surprising to me. Allgaier said it was his best car that he's driven ever in an Xfinity Series career. He called it, quote unquote, a dream situation. I'm kind of summarizing what he said. Dream situation that I get to drive one of these cars and just be dumbing like it was. Now, he got challenges from Ty Gibbs. Speaking of Ty Gibbs, he got challenges from Ty Gibbs a few times in stage three. But yeah, after that, I mean, the strategy took over this game. And that's why I kind of kept intriguing. I mean, yes, I mean, everything was kind of, you know, strung out a little bit on this over mile and a half racetrack, less than a mile and a half racetrack. But yeah, the strategy, it kept you watching, unlike the road course. So, I mean, which strategy was going to play out? Was it the guys that stayed out, like Brandon Jones, Allmendinger? Who else stayed out on that? I felt that was more. Noah Gregson also was on that same strategy, while Riley Herbst just really turned things around there, and he might sneak in a win before the playoffs roll around. But We'll get a top 10 here in a few moments. But Allgaier, Gibbs, and Sam Mayer. Sam Mayer had a heck of a run yesterday as well. They're on a different strategy while Gregson, Almendinger, Brandon Jones stayed out. And we, if we see that again today, I bet you we see it again today to try to mix the strategy. I mean, again, the playoff picture is really fascinating. And talked about it a little bit on the last edition of this podcast last week, right? The playoffs for the Cup Series. And you hit the right strategy right, you can really flip the playoff picture. So it's going to be really interesting to see what transpires later on today, this afternoon, for the Cup race, the Ally 400 at Nashville Super Speedway later on today at Nashville. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. But yeah, the strategy kept you watching. I mean, it was strung out a little bit, but again, things got a little interesting late in this game, in the race there. So Allgaier, with the best car by far, just took the field of woodshed there. And Junior Motorsports, I believe we can go back at it now. That was their 12th win in between. And this is really in between the stages and winning these races, right? So you got to go back, as I'm going to go back right here to make sure. Let's just go back to the start of the season here. Gregson winning at Phoenix, right? That's one. Gregson, Talladega, that's two. Barry, Dover, three. Allgaier, I mentioned him. Darlington, four. Josh Berry, five. And for the sixth time this year, Junior Motorsports brings home the checkered flag in the Xfinity Series. Allgaier having a second win. So between Gregson, Berry, Josh Berry, I'm talking about, and Allgaier, they each now have two wins. And Sam Mayer is probably knocking on the door of getting his first career win in the Xfinity Series. He ran a solid race yesterday, and there was talk about, again, Gibbs and Mayer. We'll get into that here. Let's see what I have here. We'll get to that here momentarily here in just a second. Yeah, but I got to comment on that. I got to comment on that and what the Dale Jarrett and Brad Doherty and Maurice Irish said yesterday about the whole get-together again with Ty Gibbs. This was on a different matter. Ty Gibbs and Sam Mayer. But yeah, Allgaier bringing it home there for a second win of the year and more playoff points for that team as well. Back in of the top 10 first, Brett Moffitt coming home in the 10th position there quietly. That's a quiet 10th for our motorsports. Brett Moffitt coming home there. Ryan Sieg. We saw his little brother Kyle get a start in this race yesterday. Ryan Sieg finished a nice spot there in the A game four there. Austin Hill for RCR finished 8th there after starting in the 4th position there in his Bennett Transportation and Logistics Chevrolet. He was very solid, scoring stage points in 1 and 2 there. Jeffrey Earnhardt, he probably had to pass the most cars yesterday in this race there. Jeffrey Earnhardt, a solid 7th place finish for him there. And Ryan Preece, the Truck Series winner from the night before, comes right back, started deep in the field. if you're Ryan Preece, you think that Nashville should be on a schedule every day, every single week for him, because Ryan Preece, that's back-to-back wins in the Truck Series. He scored Friday night, and he comes back double duty, successful double duty at that, comes back, finish in the 6th position.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Sam Mayer, and I'm going to stay on him for just a second. Sam Mayer started in the 21st position yesterday and ended up finishing in the top 5, had a good race car for most of the race right there as well. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, and I'm going to stay right there for, and actually, you know what? This is good for transition, right? Ty Gibbs finished 4th, Sam Mayer finished 5th, right? earlier this season on the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, right? And oh, by the way, this is episode 300 of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Welcome on board. I originally had a guest lined up, but I had to move things around, and there was a squirrel moment there, so unfortunately you're obviously not going to get that. Hopefully I have him back on next week, on next week's show, so hopefully that gets around, but no big deal. This is just going to be me on the podcast here today on the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Yeah, so back to Gibbs and Sam Mayer real quick here, right? Obviously, earlier this year on the 3Y NASCAR podcast and earlier this year in the Xfinity Series, remember Martinsville, right, where Mayer and Gibbs got together late in the race there, late race situation, and the two of them duked it out on pit road, right? Here, Gibbs gets a little loose. Oh, and the air was this aero tight, whatever you want to call it. Sam Mayer gets into the back of left rear a little bit, gets into the back of him, whatnot, and there was no harm. Well, there was no harm, no foul. I didn't really see anything on that, but we know the history between the two guys. Look, it was just, I'm with the guys who were in the midst of this. Gibbs. And even Ty Gibbs was showing some maturity there with the incident there as well. You have to appreciate that after, you know, we know the style of racing he likes to do. A hard-nosed racer. We know what he likes. So there's that. But I think NBC, the group, Brad Doherty, Dale Jarrett, Morristown, they are overplaying this a little bit too much here. with this, in my opinion, yeah, I didn't really see nothing there. Ty Gibbs, I was just racing. Now, if he would have just like blatantly, like if Sam Mayer would have just blatantly just turned Gibbs, they were talking another story. But we know the history with these two drivers. Seems like they're mature. They acted very mature in a good way yesterday about it. So I didn't really see anything there. So NBC hyped it up more than they should have yesterday on that. So from where I was watching anyways, so there was nothing wrong about that at all. These two were just going hard, and it was just a mistake there, or really a racing situation there where you can't do nothing bad there, where the Sam Mayer was really underneath Gibbs there, and luckily it was hard. A little bit of kind of, what's it say, short track racing, because Nashville is less than just a shade over a mile and a half racetrack, under a mile and a half racetrack. I said that again. But anyway, I didn't really see anything there. I think NBC was just trying to really hype up the situation than it already was there. And you saw what Ty and Sam learned from the first time. So, but hey, if they meet again with a different purpose, we'll have to see about that. I don't know. But we're definitely, when the playoffs roll around, the attention is going to get ramped up. There's no question about that. You guys know, if you've been following this type of racing for the last several years, you already know that when the playoffs roll around, everything gets jacked up quite a bit. So, yeah, absolutely. I didn't really see anything there. I think NBC, their group there, really, the NBC pit crew box, or whatever I call it, can't find the right words right now, but I think they overhyped this situation, and already was there were other good stories. They could have talked about more about Earnhardt's, the Ryan Sieg's, the Brett Moffitt's of the world there. Instead, they had talked about this for a good 15 minutes when they should have there. Riley Herbst, they could have even talked about this guy. Herbst finished third, scored the pole for this race yesterday, and did a fantastic job. I think this is his best race of the year. We've seen this coming. Obviously, he's been the butt of the jokes as well in the Xfinity Series, right? Last year, slow start in a championship car after Chase Briscoe won some 9 races in it, did not win the championship in it. And Matt Riley Harris, with all that pressure, did the rookie mistakes, overdriving it, not getting the percentage finishes they should. And now this just builds the confidence. And at least NBC did this right. Burton, Letart Jr., Rick Allen, they're talking about it. You know, Hirsch, I think it was more of Jeff Burton talking about it. Like, this guy's ahead of Gibbs. Let's see, going down the line here. You're ahead of a couple race winners, Gregson, Jones, Allmendinger. Yeah, you're ahead of some of these guys, right? So this is a huge confidence, and we've seen, this is not the first time we've seen Hirsch up here in this mix. He's been running in top 10 all year long, it seems to me, every week. So he's been on that consistency every single week. That is very good to hear. Good to see in here anyways as well. So I believe at some point, you know, you run, again, the theme of it is, you hear the saying, if you run in the top five more than wasting one, that one's going to come. And I think Ryan Hirsch now, he was racing hard. He's going to have an opportunity to maybe sneak in the win this year at some point. There's still plenty of time to do that. So you have to be impressed with that as well. We're already well documented the drivers who finished 1 and 2. Justin Allgaier, another win on a concrete track. He's been absolutely stellar. And I wish I would have racked up research how many wins on concrete tracks. We know he's good. Dover comes to mind. He should have won that one with the door bumper clear scheme, which was one of my favorite schemes of the entire season so far. Well, he won Darlington, which was a normal track, but he's usually good at short tracks, less than a mile and a half. Talking about Allgaier, so he brought it home yet again, winning stage 1 and 2 in the sweep at Nashville, folks. So got the sweep as well as now the Xfinity Series. Now we'll turn the page over. We want the top 10 here. Let's see. Yes, so the updated standings as it is right now, right? In the regular season standings, Allmendinger still leads by, this has been cut in half because this was a bigger lead in the regular season standings. But now, Allmendinger, who finished 16th yesterday, and again, I expressed the thank goodness for the safety people yesterday for getting over to the drivers after the race and giving them what they needed, whether it was water, ice packs, whatnot. We saw Ryan Vargas get carted over to the medical tent. He looked like he was kind of worn out as well. So, yeah. Nashville, kind of trying not to joke around about it. Nashville, in a sleeper kind of way, has some brutal conditions, especially in sun time. So, with a little bit later start for the Cup Series. And yes, the weather's going to still be a factor, but not that much, since it's going to be a 5 o'clock, a dinner time start, pretty much 4 o'clock Central Time. For those of you living in a Central Time Zone area, for our listening audience, yeah, that might be a little bit of a difference there. Yes, it gets dark a little later in the summertime. It might play a little difference there. So we'll see how that all shakes out there as well. But yeah, Allmendinger's lead has been cut to, it was like some 40 points, something like that. Now it's been cut to 25. Justin Allgaier not too far behind from Ty Gibbs now. 32 back there as well. And we look at the playoff point situation here. Justin Allgaier now has 15 playoff points. That is the third. Wait a minute. Yeah, that is the third most, folks, in the series behind Ty Gibbs, 1, and Justin's teammate, Noah Gregson, with 16 plot points there as well. So there's that on the Xfinity front right there. And real quick, I mentioned Ryan Preece in the Truck Series race there. Back-to-back wins for Ryan Preece yet again. Got his first win, Truck Series win ever last year at the same spot. Repeat winner. Back-to-back winners wins at Nashville there. Zane Smith, your truck regular, finishing in the second spot. Carson Hocevar, third. Ty Majeski, another top finish for five finish for him. Fourth, Stuart Friesen finished fifth. The rest of it featuring Christian Eckes, 6th, Tyler Ankrum 7th, Christian Atkins putting together a good stretch here this summer so far. Max Gutierrez. Say what now? Yeah, Max Gutierrez. Never even heard of him until the race on Friday night. Max Gutierrez putting together a fine run there, finishing the top 10. He finished 8th in this race. This dude started 36th in the race Friday night, and he finished 8th. That's very impressive. John Hunter Nemechek coming off of a spin in this race. It bounced back to finish in a nice spot. So far at this point, not a typical John Hunter Nemechek type year to this point. But he did finish in the top 10. Matt Crafton finished 10th there in the ThorSport truck there as well. So ThorSport, they had 3 of their trucks, I believe, if I count that right, in the top 10. Majeski, Ekis, and Crafton. And you ask where Ben Rhodes finished at? Well, the defending series, reigning truck series champion, he finished in the 12th position there Friday night at Nashville. Next time you'll see those guys race here. Let's see. Back up some more. They won't be on track next week. They're going to be at Mid-Ohio coming up in a couple weeks. That's going to be July 9th. Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, folks, for the road course there as well. So another road course for them. And backing up a little bit to Knoxville. No, I did not mention this in the last episode. Todd Gillen winning that race out there. And listening to what people have said on Twitter and a podcast I listened to. It was another one of those you-know-what shows out there. So, and some scary accidents as well. I saw pictures of Jessica Friesen flipping over. At one point, the wife of Stuart Friesen. And there was no caution out. And she managed to land on all 4 tires to keep going. My goodness. Who does that? Well, for one, there's no control of doing that. But yeah, that's just crazy. No caution coming out after that. Wow, that's just something else there as well. But yeah, the next time trucks will be on course will be in a couple weeks. In the month of July, when the calendar turns July 9th at Mid-Ohio Xfinity Series. Next time it'll be there. It will be Pocono. Nope. I'm wrong. So, yeah. It'll be at the Road America Weekend Doubleheader next Saturday. Will be Road America for the Xfinity Series. For that as well as for the Cup Series as well. So, the trucks are off next week as well. I wanted to bring this up before heading to timeout, to the intermission timeout here, folks. One of the NASCAR legends, one of the founders of NASCAR passing away this week, and that is Bruton Smith. He passed away early this week there. He was 95. As well, Smith's importance to NASCAR and impact on the sport is an immense challenge. That described him. He was one of the sport's greatest visionaries, a figure whose innovative leadership helped shepherd the series into the culture lexicon alongside founding figures like Bill France Sr. Smith's efforts saw Speedway Motorsports grow to an entity that included 11 racing facilities, which currently host 15 Cup Series races, including 4 events during the playoffs. He was notably the leading figure in the construction of Charlotte Motor Speedway, the spiritual home track of NASCAR, and home of a crown jewel event in the Coca-Cola 600. That's one I know, obviously. Big family growing up as well. So huge loss for NASCAR at that. Bruton Smith passing away earlier this week. Huge loss for NASCAR as well. Can't think of his son's name. I mentioned him time and time out on this podcast as well, but we'll go do a moment of silence for Bruton Smith. And on the other end of this podcast, episode 300 of the 3 White Nascar Podcast with EG3, get back on the cup side. A lot of big news to dive on in as well. Two big news stories coming out of here this weekend in a big news, big hooray for somebody. We'll come back to that moment of silence for Bruton Smith.
With EG3. We'll be right back after this intermission break from Manhattan, Kansas.
The 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3 continues. Episode 300. The 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Eddie Greer III. Here with y'all coming at you. Recording on the same day as the race later on the day. Ally 400 going down on USA later on this afternoon. A late start. Looking forward to it. Coming off the only bye week, we're coming to the sprint and the finish of the regular season. 10 to go before the playoffs. Will we see another chaotic finish? Change the game? Or we're going to see a repeat winner? I can find out as things are going to get very, very interesting here. Coming down the stretch here. 10 to go. The race to the playoffs is officially on, starting today, later on this afternoon, folks. I mentioned a little teaser, folks. News coming out of the Cup Series, and two big ones that I'm going to mention here right now, folks, on the podcast. One of them being Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and JTG Doherty Racing signing a multi-year contract. So, and I'm trying to think, have they won a race together yet? I don't think so. I know you got to go back to when it was Roush Fenway Racing, when Stenhouse, who is a two-time Xfinity Series champion, when he won a championship. But Stenhouse, obviously, the consistency definitely has been there this year, including a streak of, 7 consecutive top 10 finishes in a row for Stenhouse Jr. So I don't have the full details on that. All I know from the back of the memory is he signed a deal as well. He's very excited about that. Obviously, he and Brian Patti click as they continue to make a charge trying to get to the playoffs, obviously, and try to shake and bake the playoff picture as well. As we get ready here for Nashville here, when this podcast comes out, it's going to be getting close to the green flag action as well. But that's a huge get here for JTG Daugherty Racing, which was usually a two-car operation and went down to one last year. And to put the focus on the 47 and seems to be playing off with, obviously, the focus on the current new car that's on the track right now. So we've seen the consistency there as well. And we'll have to follow his progress today to see where he's going to finish. Because last year, in the inaugural cup race at Nashville, Ricky Stenhouse finished in his sixth spot. So big weekend for him already to this point as well. So we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, if you've been following me ever since the beginning of this podcast, or you've been following me for the last year, or you've been following me this podcast for, what, a few weeks now, you know that I'm a Martin Truex Jr. fan first, and the return of MTJ for 2023 season, next season. He says, I'm coming back next season, which was music to the ears of Truex Nation. Shout out, once again, on the podcast, Martin Truex Jr. Nation. We coming back for at least one more season as well. So, and he's up in the top. Now, I talk about him and Blaney up there in the top 10. They've yet to win a race this year. So, like I said, this playoff picture is going to get really, really dicey, especially somebody that you don't expect wins a race. It's just jam-packed back there. But assuming, I shouldn't really assume, but if Blaney and Truex win, they're definitely locked into the playoffs because they're up there in points. And Martin Truex Jr., I think, is ahead of Kyle Larson, even though Toyota 2 weeks ago was out to lunch in Sonoma. It seems to be they brought their lunch pails this weekend with some speed in it. And MTJ said, gave us a kind of a clue, which I looked back at some of the speeds yesterday and kind of did this little bit of homework, did a little bit of studying, a little bit. And he said that at least if it gets to a long run, which obviously that's to me anyways, following the guy for some 10 years now, it's been what, 10 years, something like that. But his strength, long run speed. So we saw a lot of long runs yesterday in the Xfinity series, and I bet you we'll see it again today. But again, the wild card is this car. You just don't know. We didn't have last year's car, so this is going to be a total different beast. Obviously, we saw a bunch of stuff going on in Charlotte, you know, things like that. So hey, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that makes me very excited. I know we're going to get long runs at some point in the race today for sure. So looking at the speeds, he looked pretty good on the speed chart as well as a couple others, but him notably as well. So we'll see what happens there as well. It's very exciting. After last year, he did not look good last year in the race. Last year, he finished 23rd, a lap down. So, at least Toyota brought their A game. But Kyle Busch spun in qualifying yesterday. He's going to have his work cut out for him as well. Bubba Wallace, who came out of the truck blazing fast. Very disappointing qualifying effort. He's got work to do as well. I was looking at his speeds. In that same format, along with Truex's, they're right there. So, Bubba says they're fast. So, we'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition later on this afternoon. Obviously, he needs to win to get in the playoffs as well. And we all know what happened last year. Kyle Larson spanking the field, leading a whopping 264 laps in this race. And Ross Chastain, who was at the time with Ganassi Racing, finished second. Daniel Suarez, who was with Trackhouse Racing, who was carrying that momentum. Last time we were talking Cup Series Racing, it was Daniel Suarez winning Sonoma, his first ever, finally breaking through in the victory lane there after after a 150 plus streak, winless streak, ended 2 weeks ago for Suarez, and he had I wish qualifying would have went. I wish the top 10 qualifying would have happened yesterday, because I wanted to see what Suarez had in that speed. Well, obviously he has speed, and he finished 7th last year, so this kind of Ross Chastain could be in the mix again this afternoon. He finished 2nd in this race last year and tried to run down Kyle Larson, which still, he finished was over 4 seconds back. But at one point, yeah, he was running down Kyle Larson there. Larson was on, and speaking of strategy, folks, Kyle Larson was on a total different strategy in that race, if I'm not mistaken there. He, stayed out or something like that and managed to save fuel there and hold off Ross Chastain. Yeah, yep, so strategy game, again, is the only thing that kind of separates this from being a total out-of-left-field moment there. But I think strategy is going to come into play yet again, just like the Xfinity yesterday. And you're going to see, at this point in the season, you're going to see guys mix it up. Because, again, the heart, I talked about it on last week's show. Buschers, Harvick, Keselowski's, Truex, Blaney, Almirola, who has the last playoff spot, I think, for the moment anyways. Eric Jones, speaking of contract extensions, he's saying they're getting close to one for Petty GMS Racing. A lot of heavy hitters, man. A lot of heavy hitters. Bubba Wallace, like I mentioned him already. Stenhouse, yep, mentioned him already. A lot of heavy hitters, man. Crystal Seabell, yet to win either. So, there's a lot going with these winners going on around here. We're running at seat at the table. We're running at seats at the table, and I made a bold prediction. I'm not going to repeat it. It's on tape. It's on the recording of the 3-Wide NASCAR Pilot with EG3. Made a bold prediction that, we're going to see. go back and listen to that episode there as well. But yeah, it's just a lot going on, and I'm looking anxious to see how this all going to unfold beginning of the day at Nashville. That's going to be the point going down, where you're going to see multiple styles of racetracks and whatnot, and I'm just anxious to see what card unfolds, and definitely with this weather situation and whatnot. It's going to be interesting to see a little bit late start for these guys, so we'll see what happens. Nashville expect to be packed. I'm looking forward to how this shakes out. Now we've entered the NBC USA portion of the season here, and I'm very intrigued, very anxious to see what goes down later on this afternoon.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
Episode 300 of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer here with you guys, coming to you recording on this cool Sunday morning here before the action gets started here. So I'm recording on the same day as, this is not the first time I've done this. So I've done this one time already early this year. It seemed to like it. So recording, obviously, Sunday morning, same day, later on today, you're going to National Super Speedway, Ally 400 going down on USA, and the start of the race of the playoffs officially begins in the Cup Series as well. I want to bring in a side note here real quick before I get to the starting lineup here for the Ally 400. Robert Wickens, big win. No, it's not IndyCar. This was the IMSA race at Watkins Glen there. Huge, a popular win. Obviously, Robert Wickens, we know, suffered that horrifying crash at Pocono a few years ago. We didn't even know he'd be still alive. But thank the good Lord that he is. And reward, he won for the first. And this was actually his first race, I believe, since the Indy Red Car race at Pocono back in 2018, when that ugly scene went down in that race. And yeah, I do remember that, because I think it was like an IndyCar, NASCAR doubleheader, that either that or NASCAR or somewhere else that weekend. I can't really remember, but I know remembering turning, flipping it on to the channel, and then maybe 15 minutes later, the ugly scene happened there as well. Wickens took the number 33, Brian Herta Autosport, Carr to the lead late in this one there, and had to hold off a challenge from Tim Lewis late to win by half a second there as well. Wickens in a kind of an obviously emotional, obviously for the obvious reasons there, in a statement, quote, "It means a lot, but I don't think it really sucked in," end quote there. And then, of course, adding on, quote, "I'm not much of an emotional guy. I was just trying to have my moment to myself there." It was great, though. Really, start to finish, this was by far our most competitive race, we've done. So to get rewarded at the end with a victory was the cherry on top, end quote. Yeah, as this, a huge victory there for Robert Wickens, as well as congratulations to him. I figured to put it in my notes there. It was kind of a late add-on as well. And we had some fireworks, folks. We had some fireworks, baby. SRX last night. I did not watch this, but thank goodness for good old Twitter when you really need Twitter, and more importantly, there. I'm gonna go back and see this, but I did catch some snippets on Twitter that people were posting on the Twitter feed there. Tony Stewart bounced back, winning the race at South Boston yesterday. And yes, smoke did rise yesterday because vintage Tony Stewart. You don't want to piss him off there. But I have to give kudos, though, to my other brother from another mother, right? Ernie Francis Jr. He and Tony Stewart had a meeting at the mines yesterday. Very not happy with each other there. With the interesting there. And then, of course, Stewart, just kind of to put the in the words, if you guys did not watch it last time, like myself, Stewart, he was pissed off after some contact in Heat 2 with Ernie, who ran him into the wall, I guess ran into him while trying to avoid Paul Tracy, who was spinning around in the middle of that Heat 2 race there. And then, yeah, this felt like, this was toward the end of the race with how they were acting. I mean, Tony Stewart, Ernie Francis Jr., they were going after one another, holding Tony Stewart, grabbing Ernie by the back of the neck. Ernie, no back down. I like it. I like to see it. I like to see it right there. And as well, Tony Stewart started second in the main event there. He traded the lead early with Marco Andretti. Almost said Mario. Mario is retired, obviously, but his son Marco was in the field yesterday there, training lead with them as well. We saw a lot of hectic people, a lot of drivers pissed off, obviously, Michael Waltrip being one of those as well there. And of course, Stewart, he pulled away from Greg Biffle there at the end of the race to win it. Biffle, Greg Biffle signing at this race yesterday. How about this at South Boston? Biffle finishing the second spot there, followed by Bobby Labonte, Ryan Newman, and Elio Castroneves. They're your top five from the SRX, and I might as well just go ahead and spill out the rest of it. The rest of this top 10, Tony Kanaan, for Ernie Francis Jr. did finish seventh in this race. Marco Andretti, Ryan Hunter-Reay, who had a little get-together with Michael Waltrip, and Peyton Sellers. Peyton Sellers finished in the 10th spot there as well. The next race for the SRX series there is a return trip to Stafford Motor Speedway. It's going to be 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 Eastern Time, next Saturday on CBS. So the pump-up show continues there as well as Tony Stewart. Yeah, I haven't seen him that pissed off in quite some time right there as well. So, yeah, he was pretty adamant in Tony Stewart fashion there. Not going to take it. But Tony Stewart there, Raleigh's back from that, and picks up the win. So using that Stewart mojo there, if you want to call it that, to get the victory right there in the XRX series as well. So big, big victory for him as this SRX series moves to Stafford next weekend. It's the 3-Ride NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III, hanging out with y'all on this Sunday morning, June 24th, on a few hours from the Alec 400 race at National Super Speedway later on today as well. So your starting lineup, folks, here real quick before we sign off on this big episode of the podcast. And I'm going to get this in here before I let it slip away. Looking at some of the numbers already from the past year, I appreciate your support. For those who have been listening for Sips of the Exception, this podcast, I know several buddies of mine listen to this podcast weekly. Appreciate you guys for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. We reached recently, or really, I should have just did this then, but I'll just say it now. Recently, over 10,000, I believe it was like, so, I'm going to call it downloads because I get the numbers. I check in on numbers every 2 weeks, see what's going on there as well. So appreciate y'all for listening every week to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Over 10,000 downloads now of this podcast since the podcast moved to podcast form, to the iTunes, to the Spotify's, to the Audio Booms. Definitely so, in a couple more outlets out there as well. So a big thank you to those who've been following me as well. If you like what you're hearing, definitely subscribe. Get the word out there that another NASCAR podcast is out there, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, as we're about to take this starring grid 3Wide here to close show. So I definitely wanted to take some time to acknowledge that as well. So before I forgot, so definitely I appreciate you guys for that as well. All right, so only I'm going to run down this top 10 here for the Alec 400 today from the back to the front. Martin Truex Jr. will start 10th. Christopher Bell, 9th. Kevin Harvick will start 8th. Ross Chastain starts 7th. Ryan Blaney will roll off 6th. Then, your recent winner, Suarez, will start 5th in this race. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, last year's winner, Joey Logano was out to lunch. It practiced yesterday. Not yesterday. It was Friday. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, Joey Logano's in the starting the front row yet again in these cup races. Don't understand that. But again, Penske Racing as a whole was out to lunch there. And Logano and Blaney starting 2nd and 6th respectively. You got to go back to find, where's Austin Cindric? Well, Austin Cindric is starting 24th in this race later on this afternoon. Denny Hamlin will roll off P1 later today at 4. Just after 4 Central Time, 5 Eastern Time as well. That's going to be start, like I mentioned earlier, dinner time. So definitely strap in. This is going to be an interesting race to see what happens there as well. Some notables here real quick for you guys here. Let's see. Chris Buescher, 15th today. Almirola will start 11th. Michael Modell will start 18th. Kurt Busch, the Kansas winner, will start 19th there. Apparently, Austin Dillon has a TV show on USA Network. He will start 20th today in today's race there. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. coming off the announcement of signing a multi-year deal with his current race team, JTG Doherty Racing. He rolls off 25th. Brad Keselowski will start 27th. Chase Briscoe, the Phoenix winner, rolls off 28th in his race. And Bubba Wallace, who had the fastest car in the only practice session Friday, he's going to roll off 30th in his race, but he said he had a fast car. I want to see it. I want to see it today. And Kyle Busch will start shotgun through the field after spinning out in his qualifying lap yesterday as well. Pretty straightforward. So Kyle Busch got a lot of work to do there. Kyle Busch already locked in the playoffs there. And your Truck Series winner, your Knoxville winner, check that, from a couple weeks ago. I mentioned him already, Todd Gillen, the other half of Front Row Motorsports. He's going to roll 33rd in this race as well. So a lot to look forward to, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think it's going to be, if I had put down some money on it, I think it's going to be the same as the Xfinity Series. I think late it's going to be a sequence in there where caution is going to bring out another caution in. Somebody's going to do something different here to really mix things up, just like last year where obviously Kyle Larson stayed out and tried to play the fuel strategy game, and he did it to the absolute T on the route to beating Ross Chastain and William Byron last year. So, last look forward to, obviously, USA and NBC will take us all the way through Phoenix as well. And I want to mention here real quickly who has that race today here before we sign up. Yeah, NBC. NBC, tune in. Make sure national audience tune in to NBC for the Ally 400. Who will check the checkered flag later on this afternoon? Will it be Kyle Larson back-to-back? Will we get a repeat winner like a Kyle Larson or a Suarez? Or will another winner, a non-winner, emerge to the checkered flag and hold up that guitar, folks, and really change the playoff picture around? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. What's up, folks? Appreciate you guys for listening to episode 300 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast if you're not already. But if you're not, please hit that subscribe button, and you should get alert messages every time the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast uploads new content already. We've had the Suarez episode up now, where we listen to podcasts. Brittany Samora was on a couple weeks ago, did that, recorded that podcast. That episode is up now, where we listen to podcasts as well. So go check those out, along with the other content that I posted this year as well. So definitely make sure you check that as well. Congratulations already to Justin Allgaier and Ryan Preacher, current winners this weekend from Nashville, who will fill out the last winner this weekend at Nashville. Tune in to NBC later on this afternoon to find out. This has been episode 300 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
Is waved on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast where podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.